Today, I'm going to tell you about a study we conducted about network partitioning failures in cloud systems. I did this work in collaboration with Hatim, Mohammed, and Samir at the University of Waterloo. In my talk, I will focus on four main highlights. The first one is that majority of network partitioning failures are catastrophic. They are silent, which make them hard to detect, and they are deterministic. The second highlight is that many failures we studied are due to a special type of network partitions, which is called partial network partitions, and we found that it's poorly understood or tested. The third highlight is that we debunked two common presumptions in the community. The first one is related to network admins and how they maintain their networks. And the second one is a common design that followed in many systems that we tested. The last point that I will talk about is that our findings motivated us to build a new testing framework to test systems with network partitioning. We called the framework NEAT, and we used it to test 7 systems. As we all know, distributed systems are designed to be highly available, and they should tolerate all type of infrastructure failures, including devices, nodes, network, or even data centers. Now, we focus on studying network partitioning failures for 2 main reasons. Is that partitioning faults are common in production networks, and this was reported by many studies. For instance, Google reports that network partitioning happens once every 2 weeks, as well as network partitioning is responsible for 70% of downtime at Microsoft. Finally, network partitioning happens once every 4 days in California-wide scenic networks. The second reason is that network partitioning faults are complex to handle, and they affect the design of all layers in the system, from low-level replication and communication layer up to the system and user API layer. So we were wondering, what's the impact of network partitions on modern distributed systems? And to answer this question, we picked failures from production systems, and we studied their end-to-end sequence from the time a network partition happens until the failure is visible and is visible to the user. As we see in this timeline, when a network partition happens, it leads to a system reaction, and the system will execute a fault tolerance mechanism like leader erection or system reconfiguration. After that, the system will be in a new state, which itself can be buggy and lead to a failure, or it may require user workload to trigger the failure. And the goal of going through this analysis is to study the impact of these failures and to find the characteristics of the events that lead to these failures, and most importantly, to identify any opportunities to improve the fault tolerance of these systems. What we did in details is that we studied 25 systems, and we picked 136 high-impact network partitioning failures in these systems. These are the systems that we tested. They are diverse. They include key value storage systems, databases, coordination services like ZooKeeper, message queuing systems, and file systems. The breakdown of the failures we studied is as the following. 104 failures reported by the users and are extracted from the issue tracking systems, and 32 failures were discovered using our tool NEAT. For each failure we studied the failure report, we looked into the discussion between the users and the developers, we looked into the failure logs, and we looked into the source code to identify the source of the failure and how it was resolved. We also looked into the unit tests. There were 24 failures that did not contain enough details, so we deployed these systems and reproduced these failures to understand their details. I will start with the first highlight, which describes the impact of these failures. But before that, let's see an example of a network partition and how it leads to a dirty read in VaultDB. VaultDB is a replicated relational database system. Now, assume that we have a cluster of 3 nodes, where the master is the red one, and we have a key that has a value X. Now, if a network partition happens that splits the master from all other replica will start leader election protocol to elect the new master. Now, if the old master receives the right operation to update the value of the key, it will update the value locally and try to replicate the value. However, it will fail. As a result, the write operation will fail. Now, if the master receives a read operation for the key, it will read the value from its local storage and return the value Y to the client. However, the value Y has never successfully been written in the system, which means that this is a dirty read. Now, dirty read, we classify it as a catastrophic failure, and we classify a failure as a catastrophic if it violates the guarantees and semantics of the system, like data loss, dirty read, broken logs, double DQ, and data corruption. As a matter of fact, we found that majority of network partitioning failures are catastrophic. Another thing to notice in this failure, that the user is not aware of it, as the system did not return any error or warning message to the user. So the user is not aware that the value Y will be lost. And we found that majority of these failures we studied are silent. We looked into the number of events that needed to lead to the failures. And in this example, it requires the 3 events. But in general, we found that 70% of the failures we studied require 3 or fewer events, which indicate that they are simple, like this failure, or even simpler. We also looked into the ordering constraints between these events. And in this example, it's clear that the read operation should happen after the write operation to cause the failure to manifest. In general, we found that all failures that require multiple events, all these events should happen in a specific order to lead to the failure. We also looked into the timing constraints between these events. And in VaultDB, when a network partition happens, the old master will step down or shut down after a timeout. As a result, event 2 and event 3 should happen before the old master shuts down to cause the failure to manifest. And we found that majority of the failures we studied are deterministic or have non-timing constraints. Now, it's surprising that production systems have these catastrophic and silent and deterministic failures due to network partitions. The question is, what are the affected mechanisms in these systems? We looked into that, and we found that network partitioning affects a broad range of mechanisms. As we see, leader election is the most affected mechanism. But other mechanisms are also affected, like configuration change, data consolidation, request routing, and replication protocol. We further studied the leader election mechanism, and we found that the main problem here is having 2 leaders at the same time in the system. These 2 leaders can overlap for a short period of time, or they can work permanently with each other. We found that 60% of the failures are due to design flaws and not implementation bugs, which now this is surprising that network partitioning failures are due to design flaws and they have a catastrophic impact, which makes us think that early design review of the system would have detected these bugs before they manifest to the user. But in general, this indicates that this area is a high impact area that needs further research. The second highlight I would like to talk about is that many failures we studied describe a special type of network partition, which is called partial network partitions. In addition to the complete network partitions that is well known, which splits the network into 2 disconnected parts that cannot communicate with each other, there is a special type called partial partitions, which happens as the following. Assume that we have 3 groups of nodes, and a network partition happens between group 1 and group 2, while group 3 can communicate with both groups at the same time. Now, let's see an example of partial network partition and how it leads to double execution of tasks in MapReduce. Now, when the user submits a task to the resource manager will start an app master which will start containers to execute the task. Now, while the task is being executed, assume a network partition happens between the resource manager and the app master, while both of them can communicate with other nodes in the cluster. Now, the app master will think that the resource manager will think that the app master has failed and will start another app master on another node. The new app master will start new containers to execute the same tasks, which leads to double execution of the task and may lead to data corruption. Another thing that the user will receive two acknowledgements from both app masters, which will be confusing for the user. Now, we found that partial network partitions lead to 28% of the failures we studied, and it affects a broad range of mechanisms like leader election, scheduling, data placement, and configuration change. We looked further into these failures, and we found that partial network partition leads to an inconsistent view of system state. For example, as we see in this figure, group 3 will not see any failure, while group 2 thinks that group 1 has failed and will start executing fault tolerance mechanism, while group 3 will continue to process user requests. And this mix of operation is poorly understood and tested in the systems we studied. The third highlight is that our findings debunk two common presumptions in the community. The first one is that network admins believe that systems with data redundancy are robust enough to tolerate network partitioning. As a result, nowadays, when a top-of-the-rack switch fails in a data center, it's repaired with a low priority, although it isolates a rack of nodes. Now, in reality, we found that majority of these failures occur by isolating a single node, which indicates that this practice prolongs the network partition and makes its impact more worse. Now, the second presumption is that many systems we studied assume that restricting client access to only one side of the partition is enough to eliminate the failures. One example of these systems is VaultDB. As we saw in the example before, when a network partition happens, the old leader will shut down after a timeout, and it will require manual intervention to bring it up again and add it to the cluster. In reality, we found that 64% of the failures we studied require no client access at all, or require client access to only one side of the partition, which indicates that this solution is not bulletproof, and developers should pay more attention to asynchronous and system internal operations as they lead to these failures. Other findings that we discuss in more details in the paper is that we found failures in systems that implement proven protocols like ZooKeeper and draft-based systems, and all these failures are due to optimization or tweaks of the protocols. We found that majority of the failures can be reproduced with three nodes, which indicates that you do not need a large clusters to test these systems. The last one is that majority of the failures can be reproduced through tests, which motivated us to build the testing tool to test systems with network partitioning. We call this tool NEAT. NEAT supports all type of network partitions and has a very simple API to inject and heal network partitions. Let's see an example of a NEAT code that tests semaphores in Apache Ignite. Assume that we have a cluster of three server nodes and two clients. Now, to create the partition, the developer needs to specify nodes on each side and then call partitioner.complete, and a complete network partition will be created between these nodes. After that, both clients will try to acquire the semaphore at the same time, and in Ignite, both of them will succeed, and this leads to double-locking failures. Finally, to heal the partition, the developer can call partitioner.heal, and the communication will be restored between these nodes. This figure shows the architecture of NEAT, and NEAT has three main components: server nodes, which run the target system, client nodes, which issue client operations, and test engine, which coordinates and orders all client operations and is responsible for injecting and healing network partitions. Now, NEAT uses SDN capabilities and assume that all nodes in the cluster are connected to a single switch, and it uses OpenFlow API to manipulate switch forwarding rules to create and heal partitions. Now, we used NEAT to test 7 systems, And these are the systems that we tested. They are diverse. They include the file systems, message queuing systems, and key value systems. We discovered 32 failures. 30 of them are catastrophic. We reported all these failures to the developers, and until now, 12 of them were confirmed. In conclusion, we conducted a comprehensive study of network partitioning failures in production systems, and we found that these failures are due to design flaws and lead to a catastrophic failure, and they are easy to manifest, which indicates that like even our simple tool, Neat, was capable of discovering 32 failures in these systems, which indicates that this area needs further research, especially for the partial network partitions. In the paper, we highlight the danger of using unreachability as an indicator of node crash, and we found that many systems follow this practice, and it leads to a large number of failures. We identify ordering, timing, and network characteristics that simplify and help testing of these systems. We identify common pitfalls for developers and admins. In the slides, I talked about the admins and the presumptions that we debunk, but in the paper, we talk about more mistakes that developers do and lead to these failures. Finally, we developed Neat, a new testing framework for network partitioning, and the source code of Neat is available using this link. Thank you for listening, and feel free to ask any questions.
Hi, Daniel Berger, CMU. Question on coverage. How many of the user-reported bugs would you have found?
Yeah, well, we discussed 136 failures. 104 were from issue tracking systems, but this does not indicate how many of these failures have been. So the number, these tickets were reported is 104 after we filter these tickets. But this is not an indicator of how many of these failures have been, because they are silent and may not report it.
How many of those, conceptually, would you have found with your tool?
As I highlighted, 93% can be tested using Neat. I see. Yeah, 93%.
I'd just like to point out, we have time for two more questions.
Malte Schwarzkopf from MIT. I have a question on your MapReduce example that you gave with the double task execution. And I wonder what assumptions you make that would lead to data corruption here, because MapReduce as a paradigm executes tasks deterministically and usually writes its output data to a distributed file system that has some sort of atomic rename operation to put the task output in place atomically. So maybe I missed something, but I don't think this would actually lead to any sort of catastrophic failure in a real system that obeys the MapReduce paradigm.
Thank you for your question. Now, as we see in this figure, the second node runs two containers at the same time, and if both of them try to commit on the same file, the failure will happen, and the data corruption will happen. And this is what was discussed in the ticket that we discussed.
So is this an HDFS bug or a Hadoop MapReduce bug?
Hadoop MapReduce bug.
I see. And this was for an underlying distributed file system that didn't have atomic rename for commit or something?
I'm not sure, but...
All right, let's talk offline.
This is what was reported in the bug by the developers of the system. Like, it leads to a data corruption.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hi, Justin Meza from Facebook. You mentioned that Neat can run on a single switch connecting different systems, but oftentimes in large-scale systems,
yeah,
the different servers are spread across different network devices, so they're in different failure domains. Do you have any ideas about how you would extend Neat to handle that scenario?
Yeah. Well, Neat has another API which uses IP tables to access each end host and manipulate the forwarding rules on end hosts to create the network partition between these end hosts. So it has two versions.
Cool, thank you.
Thank you.